So to kind of back up, we're talking about going against the flow. Amen? Going against the flow. And like I was saying earlier, you know, we don't have to be succumbed to the coronavirus or whatever, you know, the outbreak, whatever you want to call it. Their timeline, or, you know, we have to be unemployed, and we have to be all of these things. We have to be in fear. We don't have to be. Amen. I believe under our covenant, which it says under our covenant, that, and if you understand a covenant says your strengths are my strengths and my weaknesses you take on. So it's an exchange. That's what a covenant is. It's an exchange. When you're married, you exchange marriage vows. And again, whatever is the wife's is the husband's, and whatever the husband's is the wife's. And so moving forward, we have a better covenant than the world does, because the world doesn't have a covenant. We don't have to be unemployed. We don't have to go through, you know, all of these things. Now, it doesn't mean that we're never going to experience, you know, bad times. The Apostle Paul, I mean, we see there in Corinthians, he went through all kinds of bad things, right? I mean, he was shipwrecked, and he got stripes on his back, and he went hungry, and he was naked, didn't have clothes, he went through stuff, right? But we as Christians, we can be overcomers. And so we look at Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 11th verse, and I know that we see some of these things. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So there are people set in our lives to help us grow and mature. And it says, until we all come into the unity of faith and into the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now here's what I'm going to get to. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, every news report, every liar on TV. We are not going to be succumb to that garbage, right? And we're going to read here in just a minute. But it says here, by the sleight of men or the cunning craftiness whereby they lie to wait to deceive. Now, children are tossed to and fro, right? Children are, I mean, you know, little kids, or, you know, people who just, they're, I mean, they'll believe anything you say, right? I mean, they're just, oh, okay. What are pillars? Pillars are focused on truth, right? I mean, they like a pillar. This pillar isn't going to move anytime soon, right? I mean, we have to use a ton of force, but it's not going anywhere. Now, if we're going to be succumbed to the news and what's going on now, it doesn't mean we're not informed, and it doesn't mean we're not educated on some things. But what the point is this, that I'm not living by the standard of the news. And we don't have to be tossed to and fro just because other people are in fear, just because other... I have hope, right? I have somebody, his name is Jesus Christ. I don't have to be in fear. I don't have to have anxiety. You know, and we're living in a time right now where people don't want to hear facts. They don't want to hear truths. And we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. Romans 18, let's look at that real quick here. Romans 18, 1 through 6. And I'm sorry, Revelation, excuse me. I'm sorry, Revelation 18, 1 through 6. Excuse me, living Revelation. Revelation. Now, I'm going to give you a little pretext here of Revelation. This is at the end, right? This is when the world has been, I mean, the rapture's happened, everything's done. Now we're Revelation chapter 18, verse 1, and it says here, just kind of bear with me, but I think all of it's very important. It says, after all of these, all of this, and again, John is recording this, the Apostle John, he says, after all of this, I saw another angel come down from heaven with great authority, and the earth grew bright with his splendor. He gave a mighty shout, Babylon, the great is fallen, She has become a den of demons, a haunt of devils, or some translations say a dwelling place of devils, and of every kind of evil spirit. For all the nations have drunk the fatal wine of her intense immorality. The rulers of the earth have enjoyed themselves with her, and businessmen throughout the world have grown rich from all of her luxurious living. Here we go. Then I heard another voice calling from heaven, right? So the end time is all this destruction is happening. We're seeing the end. We're seeing that all of these sins on the earth and everything. And we hear a voice saying, come away from her, my people. Do not partake in her sins or you will be punished with her. For her sins are piled as high as heaven and God is ready to judge her for her crimes. Do to her as she has done to you, and more, give double penalty for all of her evil deeds. She brewed many a cup of woe for others. Give twice as much to her. The point is this, these evil people, this evil world system will be punished. It will have double trouble coming upon it and run from it, right? You know, nobody's making light of the coronavirus, and I know, and there's been people who died, and I've known a few people that have gotten it. We're not saying that. But what we are saying is the Bible, a few weeks ago, I talked about scriptures that the main thing that we want to fear is hell, right? I mean, that's scarier than I got, you know, and some people have died from corona. We're not dismissing this. But the point is this, when we have an eternal perspective, I talk about a lot, eternal perspective, right? Hell is much worse than the coronavirus. Nobody talks about hell. And I like this. It says, come away from her, my people, and do not partake in her sins. Now, the world system is all about disobeying God. It hates God. And what it's going to take is, I remember it was John Brevere talking about the Lord gave him a vision. You know, he sees all these people in these inner tubes just floating down the river. Remember that? And they're all going down. And then he's going against the current, right? He's paddling up the river. And all these people most everybody just floating down the river, right? Let me just say something. It takes persecution sometimes to go against the grain. And we're entering into a time where to say that I love Jesus and he is the way, the truth, and the life, now we're seeing a lot of persecution begin to come. And the point is, we can't go with the grain. Now, it doesn't mean that we're, you know, I mean, you know, when you say I love Jesus and I go to church, any more people think that you want to drink Drano, you know, and, you know, kick puppies. I mean, it's like, it's nuts, right? I mean, all I'm saying is I want to go to church. I want to worship God. I want to do the right thing, and I want to care about people. And then all of a sudden, you're crazy. You know, we've seen definitely things turn around, and it's definitely kooky out there, right? But what the main thing is, we need to go against the grain. Doesn't mean that we're hateful towards people, but what it means is we're bold about what we believe, and we don't care what people think, right? I remember I had stated something, and somebody attacked me and called me names, and you know, that I was an idiot. And I'm like, okay, see, I got it off their website. I quoted them, right? Nobody wants to hear truth anymore. It's we're dealing with people that are so focused on what they think. We're going to read a few scriptures about it. And they're going off the deep end, right? They're just getting crazy. Because why? Because what they're meditating on, what they're thinking about. You are what you think. Hello? You are what you think. And so what happens is we have all these people that they're in their own little world. They're in their little MSNBC, their CNN, their Fox News, their news, and that's their little world or whoever you watch. That's not reality, right? I mean, we need to be focused on the Word. The Word is the reality because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I know some people think, I'm crazy because, well, you don't watch the news. No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is this. When you start believing those things over the Word, you got a problem. And it's what we're going to focus on. Proverbs 14, 1 through 19. Oh, this is really good. And I don't have to go in real depth, tonight, but it says, a wise woman builds her house while a foolish woman tears hers down by her own efforts. This is very interesting, especially the time we're in right now. To do right honors God, to sin is despise him. A rebel's foolish talk should prick his own pride, but the wise man's speech is respected. An empty stable stays clean, but there's no income from an empty stable, right? A truthful witness never lies, but a false witness always lies. A mocker never finds the wisdom he claims he's looking for, yet it comes easily to the man with common sense. This is good stuff, isn't it? If you are looking for advice, stay away from fools, right? You ever know, I don't take advice from people, from fools. The wise man looks ahead. The fool attempts to fool himself and won't what? Face facts. Interesting, huh? I want to read that one again. The wise man looks ahead. The fool attempts to fool himself and won't face facts. The common bond of rebels is their guilt. The common bond of godly people is goodwill. Only the person involved can know his own bitterness or joy. No one else can really share it. The work of the wicked will perish, but the work of the godly will flourish. Do you see a theme here? Here's what I'm going to get to. I got some different translations here. Verse 12. Before every man, there lies a wide and pleasant road that seems right, but it ends in death. King James says this, there is a way which seems right to unto a man, but the end, therefore, are the ways of death. The Amplified Classic says, there is a way which seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but at the end of it is the way of death. See, we're dealing with people, we're dealing with a world system here where it seems like it's right, but it's not right. It is not right at all. And they're just sailing right for destruction. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Will actually, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 4, 4 out of the Amplified Classic. I want to read that. And if you want to go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. But first, 2 Corinthians 4, 4 out of the Amplified Classic, and it says, for the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds. So, you know, people don't realize it, excuse me, but the world, their minds have been blinded. They don't have the ability, unless you've got God, common sense is really good. We just read that. But that always comes in handy once in a while. But the God of this world has blinded the minds of them. I'll read it again. For the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds that they should not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the Messiah, who is the image and likeness of God. Do you know that we can go, you know, we used to, you know, minister to people. I can't do anything to convince the world of a sin. The Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts the world of its sin. Do you know without the Holy Spirit showing up and helping to convict people of their sin, what's going to happen? They're just going to get mad, right? I'm just poking the bear. But until the Holy Spirit shows up and starts convicting people of their sin and God starts working on people, that's when things happen, right? That's when God can turn things around. Romans 12, 1 and 2, out of the Amplified, and it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service in spiritual worship. I think a lady wrote this, don't you? I think she was involved with the Amplified Classic. We're going to be here a while. No. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. I want to read that to begin. Do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adopted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind, right? So what's the key here? Our thinking has got to change. Our thinking. The world system and the news and everything else is just about this dimension, right? This world. From the time you're born till the time you die, that's it. That's all they talk about. That's all the news and anything else, right? That's the world system. But we've got to get focused and get our thinking on the eternal perspective, don't we? Right? There's people that are lost. So going against the grain is not going to be comfortable, is it? How many people, how many people in the Bible, let me just say this, how many people in the Bible were often minorities, meaning the number, than who was right or who was wrong? Like, for example, Moses and God were right, and all of Israel was wrong. Right? Let's count how many times in the Bible, let's see, Jesus is on the cross, and he had three people there with him, and everybody else was gone. They were there for the handout. They were there for the free meals, right? They were there for the healings. They were there for the encouraging words. But when the rubber met the road, everybody's gone. When King David was at Ziklag, right, the Amalekites came along, and they decided to take the women, the children, all of their goods and everything else too. And here's King David. They came back. They won a battle, and they're there, and everything's gone. And the Amalekites wrote a note. Hi, David. We got your wife and children, all the goods. Bye-bye. Right? And what did the men do? They wanted to kill him. So here's King David. He went before the Lord. He's like, what do we do? And the Lord's like, go. I'll back you up. Go get him. You know, the interesting thing is, King David was not even born again, was probably at one of the most stressful points of his life, and he still sought the Lord and was not going to move forward unless he heard God's voice. Isn't that interesting? He's still interested in that. Most people are just like, let's just go get him. We're going to. Or they would just, you know, woe is me. Everything's awful, terrible, right? So we read the Bible. We see how many times the minority was right and the majority was wrong. Because the Bible says, wide is the way to destruction, but narrow is the path to righteousness, right? It's really easy to go the way of the crowd. Everything's going. It's just great. But it's very, very difficult. It's the road less traveled to go down the road of righteousness. Because it's easy just to jump on the bandwagon. Everything's okay. Everything's wonderful. Everybody's going to go to heaven, and everything's awesome, and we're just great. And no. The problem is this, we're going to stand before God someday, and he's going to say, I remember you saying this, and there's all these people. You know, I had this epiphany, you know, this kind of, the other day took a couple days off this week, and we went swimming. And so as I was swimming, I was thinking about scripture, you know, because I have these weird things too, where I'm somewhere, and I'm like something will pop in my mind, and I'll have an image or something. And I thought to myself, here I am. I'm underwater. I'm submerged with all of this water. And I'm thinking to myself, there's going to be people that are going to be in the same situation, but they're going to be engulfed in flaming lava. I mean, what kind of where are we at here? You know, that there's people that are heading for this destruction that don't even know it. Again, we just read there that people are going to see what's right in their own eyes, but it leads them to death. And I thought, as I'm in this pool, and I'm completely submerged in this pool, I can't breathe, right? I mean, we're just talking about water. I can't breathe. I can barely see. Now, it's cool and refreshing, but what happens if it's not? It's really bad. You know, we think about the lake of fire. And it's not to scare people, but what it's to wake us up, right? If we know Jesus, guys, we don't have to worry about that, do we? We don't have to worry about it. But the other thing is, too, if people out there that don't, it's really sad. And, you know, we're squabbling over silly things. When you come down to it, at the end, when you take your last breath, where are you going to end up, you know? Nobody, when you take your last breath, nobody's going to be, I wish I would have saved more of my 401k. You know? I wish I would have got the sports package on my car. Right? Nobody's thinking that, you know? Nobody's thinking anything like that. That's why we need to go against the grain. It doesn't mean that we're mean with people or anything else, but what it means is that as the days are coming, we're going to see more friction. We're going to see more persecution. We're going to see people come against us. That's what the Bible says, that it'll be, you know, father against son, mother against daughter. Why? Because in the end days, they're going to, you know, they're going to gladly hand you over to the magistrates for your destruction, because they think that they're doing God a favor. Well, that's not what they're doing at all, right? And so we need to continue to pray. We need to be bold. We need to be not cower down and not feel guilty or weird because we feel this way, or we believe in God, and we believe the Bible, and we believe in biblical standards, and we believe in righteousness and holiness and consecration. In my day, the rebels were cool. You know, it was like, we are the rebels now, right? We are the outcasts coming up. We are the minority. We are the ones that are the rebels, right? And I always like to tell kids when I did, it's cool to be rebellious against the world and against the world system. So rebels are cool as long as you're rebelling against the devil and you're going with God. So, amen. And we're going to see that more and more, but we need to continue to pray, guys, like never before. If you're, you know, Wednesday night, we're praying. Continue to pray with us. Amen. We want to continue to pray. Amen. So don't be afraid to go against the grain. You're going to receive persecution for it, but don't worry about it. I mean, my goodness, you know, persecution here is, you know, somebody took a parking spot. You know, it's like, oh, Jesus, I'm suffering for Jesus. Somebody took my parking spot. You know?
Can I share something?
Yeah.
She left me just a voicemail. I didn't actually get to talk to her, but she, and it fits perfect in with this. She had her first rejection this week.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'm actually, like, I was really excited and I felt really good because it happened and I was fine.
Yeah.
I got through it. She asked a lady to pray for her and she was like, no. I mean, you know, she said it was just kind of one of those, oh, you actually don't want me to pray.
Which is really rare anymore.
Yeah.
Most
is.
People do want
it
you to
is,
pray.
But
yeah.
She went through it, and that she actually survived.
Yep.
And that nothing happened. She just walked. Yep. She said, I prayed for it anyway when I walked away.
Right. Yep.
Right, yeah.
I've been threatened. I've been assaulted, everything else, too. So it's just like, whatever.
Yep.
I mean, here's the whole thing. When I'm done with that, I'm like, okay, my hands are clean. You know, I'm done. You're going to have to answer to God, and that's your deal.
Amen.
So, amen. Just not going to be afraid of the devil. We're not going to be, because, you know, when Stephen, which was a guy that is in Book of Acts that was like waiting on tables, and, you know, the apostle said, hey, we need folks to help out because the Grecians and the Hebrew women, the widows, are getting upset here because, you know. So that was their little racist thing back then. And so they stepped up. Stephen wiped off tables and helped widows. And then at the end, Jesus is giving him a standing ovation because what? Because he's going against the grain. Right? Because he's going against the grain of the system. And so anyway, we are in those days right now. And we're seeing in Revelation and the book of Daniel and also in Ezekiel and some other places in times that we're in right now. Amen?